when you feel like you're struggling and you want to hear God, and then somebody confirms it like that, bang on, hit the nail on the head. I think, thank God for that. I'm not going completely doolally here. I'm going to be talking to you about Revelation, not the book of Revelation, because we're starting in the book of Galatians this morning. But I'm going to be talking to you about Revelation. And that's been with me throughout the last week. But like I said, I've been feeling quite flat, really. But in that worship this morning, it was like emblazoned in my spirit. It was like that word, Revelation, in fiery flames in my spirit. I could just see it written, Revelation. And so when Chris said that, I thought, yes, come on. So we're going to be looking from the book of Galatians. We're going to be starting in chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. But in all honesty, we're not going to get much further than verse 1. Because that's where it's at this morning, verse 1. I'll do a little bit of introduction to Galatians. I'm not really a teachery type person, but Galatia was a province in... There's Bible scholars here, isn't there? What modern-day country was ancient Galatia? There you go. Turkey. And it was a letter written by Paul, and it was challenging some false teaching that had come to the church there, that the Gentiles, so these people that weren't Jewish... needed to do some things like get circumcised in order to get saved. That was one of the things that Paul challenged quite strongly and head on, really. So the focus of the letter is around that. And that's your history lesson on it. I'm not going any deeper than that. It's Paul really strongly opposing this teaching in the church. So I'm going to read to you the first five verses. Right, so it starts off, Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with him, to the churches in Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of God and Father, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. What a start to a letter. It's great, isn't it? Can you imagine starting a letter like that? So, like I say, I think we're not going to get beyond verse 1. And that's where we're going to focus. But I just feel like verse 1, you could just write over the top of it the word revelation. Because that's what Paul is more or less saying here. And I'll expound on that a little bit in a second. Revelation, what does that mean? Well, it just means something that was covered. This is my understanding of it anyway. Something that is covered is revealed. That whatever was under that cover, you get to see it because it's revealed. Who watches DIY SOS? Yeah, excellent. To be honest with you, I'm not a fan of the program. I have to watch it because my wife watches it. You know, and it's one of these programs. You have a house that is inadequate, isn't it? Because it's normally helping somebody that has had a very difficult time, whether they're disabled or something like that. They go in there, don't they, and they transform the house. They have, like, hundreds of builders coming in. They have a designer, all of that sort of stuff. And over a period of a week or so, they transform the house. And at the end of it, they bring the occupant of the house back with their eyes closed, and they do the big reveal, don't they? And they open their eyes, and they're like, wow. The main word they use is, it's absolutely amazing. Which really winds me up. I don't find any more adjectives than that. It's amazing. It's wonderful. I'm lost for words. They burst into tears and then they go out, don't they? And there's all the builders and people that work. I give them a round of applause. You know, And I burst into tears. Really. So it's the big reveal. It's like this thing that has been transformed. They open their eyes and they're like, wow, it's completely different. It's completely radically different to what it used to be. And that's what revelation is. That's what happened to me, you know, before, well, when I became a Christian, all those years ago, I'm talking 25 years ago, it's like God revealed this thing to me. I'm starting to get emotional thinking about it. God revealed this thing to me. And I'm like, wow, I didn't know it was like this. Did not know it was like this. I thought it was go to church on a Sunday, stand up, sit down, turn around, touch the ground, and then go home again. Which I wanted no part of that. But God revealed this thing to me, that his spirit is real. Yeah. And that's what revelation is about. It's something powerful that God works within us. And we need it. We need it in our everyday Christian walk. We need that revelation of the Holy Spirit working within us. God revealing those things to us that are hidden. And it's not just a one-off. And when you first become a Christian, it's a process. He's going to keep doing it. And he wants to keep doing it. So what does it look like? What does it look like? I'm talking about, you know, revelation. Well, you know, it looks like the truth of God being illuminated to us, doesn't it? That's one way that we receive revelation. It could be a prophetic word. You know, somebody stands up and speaks God's word. They feel inspired to do that. It could be a dream. It could be a vision. It could be a visitation, couldn't it? I've never had that experience. It could be like Paul, who went into the third heaven, which we'll look at that in a little bit. But they're all revelation, different levels, different layers of it. So it could look like that. But it's absolutely clear that Paul was a man of revelation. And if you want to give this a title of some sort, I would call it Paul the Man of Revelation. Because that's what he was. He was a religious Jew, wasn't he? He was a religious Jew that had a life-changing experience. And that experience sustained him. It birthed something in him. And it sustained him for the rest of his life. And it was something that he went back to over and over again. And you see it in all of his letters. And you'll see it, and I'm going to refer to some of the verses in a minute. And I've got some volunteers that's going to read a few verses out. Or victims, whatever you want to call them. It birthed something in him. This encounter that he had on the road to Damascus, this incident where Jesus revealed himself to him and spoke very clearly to him, completely changed his life. And he saw life in a completely different way from that point onwards. And he needed that because he was persecuted and he was put in jail. And he had to keep referring back to that. And he was over and over again. That was like a bedrock for his life. And we need that in our lives. We need that revelation from the Holy Spirit to be able to have those dreams and those visions birthed in us and to be able to sustain those. It's all about birthing something in a blaze of glory, isn't it? What's it look like 10 years later? We need it. So Paul starts off with a really clear, bold statement. What does he say? He says, Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. What's he saying there? He's making it really clear. He's saying, look, I wasn't commissioned by a committee, you know. I wasn't commissioned by an institution where a load of blokes gathered round at a meeting, had a vote on something, and they said, you know what, we think you're the right man for the job. He's saying, that didn't happen. What actually happened was that I had this experience whilst being a religious Jew that was persecuting the church. And God revealed himself to me and done something within me, and he commissioned me. And that's what he's saying. He's making this bold statement from the very outset here in Galatians. He's saying, it's by revelation that I'm doing these things. It's by revelation that I'm writing this letter to you. It's by revelation that I am coming to you with a level of authority to challenge that false teaching that is in the church. That's my authority. That's my commissioning. That's where I'm coming from. So I want to just show you that actually Paul is a man of revelation, that it is just throughout all of his letters. You can't miss it. So I've got a few victims that are going to read some of them, because you don't want to hear my voice all the time. So who got Galatians 1:11-12? I'm really bold and clear.
But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So that just reinforces the point that I'm making, and all of these, but we've got six to read, it won't take us long. Just completely reinforce this whole thing that Paul is coming from the position that God revealed this to me. God revealed this to me. It wasn't revealed to me by men. It was directly from Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Who's got Galatians 1:15-16? Come on then, Charlie.
The one God who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach it among the Gentiles. My immediate response was not to consult any human being.
Right, so he's saying that it was revealed to him. This commissioning that God gave, it was revealed to him. It's the same theme over and over again. I'll read one from Galatians 2. So we're in Galatians quite a bit here. Galatians 2 verses 1 and 2, after Paul gives a bit of his history, it says this: then after 14 years I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and also took Titus with me. I went up by revelation, and God communicated to them that the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation. By revelation. He's saying, I went to Jerusalem because God revealed it to me that I should go and do that. Mm-hmm. There's other instances, isn't there, in his letters where, I can't remember exactly where he said he was going to go, but he has a vision, doesn't he? The man of Macedonia saying, we need help. Mm-hmm. It was by revelation that he went there. God revealed it to him. Chris, you've got Ephesians. You've already read it once, which I was very pleased that you did, but I want you to read it again.
I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power.
Okay, so we'll come back to that verse later on. Just want to keep hitting home this word revelation to you. So if you leave here today and you've forgotten what I've said, I'll be shocked. You come away with the word revelation in your head and that you need it, that's good enough for me. Who else? With Val?
Yeah.
Ephesians
3, isn't it?
Ephesians, do 2 and 3, I think.
2 and 3,
yeah.
Okay. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I've already written briefly.
Right, okay. And just one more, which was you, Lorraine, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So this is when Paul says he's been in the up into the heavenly places, into the third heaven, doesn't it? Isn't it?
Becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me.
Okay, so Paul's saying that I had this experience. I was caught up into the heavenly places and I had these encounters with God, and you know, I've experienced difficulty. You know, God allowed it says a messenger of Satan to, in one version, buffet me, so that I wouldn't get puffed up by the abundance of revelations. Okay, so it's really, really clear in Paul's letter that he is a man of revelation. And it's important. It's really, really, really important that we get a hold of this. Paul's statement here in verse 1 is a statement of faith birthed out of that revelation, that encounter that he had with Jesus on the road to Damascus. He's really clear. He wasn't sent by man or any institution. He defined himself by faith, by revelation, not by any label that any man can put on him. And we have to ask ourselves that, don't we? What is defining us? What defines us? Is it the opinions of men? Is it labels that people put on us? Or do we define ourselves by what God calls us to do, what God says about us? Okay, it's just something to think about. What is our heart attitude towards this whole, you know, when somebody, you know, Paul talks here, I went to Jerusalem by revelation. How do you respond to that in your heart? That's another thing I just want us to touch on a little bit here. How does that make you react? Because some of us, I've done it numerous times, when somebody starts talking this way, sort of recoil a little bit sometimes and go, who do you think you are? Some kind of superstar? Who do you think you are? What, you what called up to Jerusalem by what, revelation? What, God told you to go and do that? Yeah, okay, I've heard it all before. Scenario. How do we react to that sometimes? Because what does it say in Thessalonians? It says what? Do not what? Despise what? Prophecies. It does say that, doesn't it? Sometimes I recoil sometimes and react to when people speak like this. And I have to keep myself in check. So all I'm saying is that I believe part of the encouragement this morning is be open. Be open to the Spirit of God revealing stuff not only to you but to other people. Sometimes it sounds a bit strange. Sometimes you think, I'm not sure about that. That's fine. You're allowed to think that, you know. We're not the thought police. But just be open. Just be open. That's part of what I'm talking about this morning. Be open to the Holy Spirit to reveal stuff to you. Because there can be a danger, can't there? And Paul already sort of touches on it, really. He talks about, you know, when he was caught up into the third heaven and this messenger, Satan, was allowed to buffet him. Why? So it doesn't what? Become puffed up. So be open. Be open yourselves. Be open to other people hearing God. But the danger is, there's a danger there that we can start to believe that, oh, do you know what? I heard God. And I was spot on. Do you know what I mean? I heard God. Chris confirmed it. Shall I go away and pat myself on the, when I leave here today? I'll take Chris in the corner. I'll give him a pat on the back. I'll get him to pat me on the back and say, "Weren't that? Wasn't that good?" No, it wasn't. If we're open to the Holy Spirit and we want to hear, we will hear. It's as simple as that. And we are only but what, vessels, aren't we? We are only a means by which God works. But the enemy wants to come along and whisper something into our ear and say, you're better than what you actually are. And that's a lie. So humility is a key thing. And I believe that Paul was humble, despite these bold, direct statements that he makes. You know, I've been sent from God. I'm here with the authority of God to challenge this. I believe that actually it was like a steely, determined, mission-minded, focused, flint face sort of attitude that I read here. It's not like a self-congratulating sort of attitude. Say, do you know what? I'm really good, I am, because God revealed this to me. It doesn't come across like that. It sort of comes across like God has sent me. I'm on a mission. What's going on in the church here isn't right. And there's opposition to me, and I'm going to see it through. I'm going to carry on because I know that God has sent me. It isn't a proud thing here. It's a mission mindset. It's a task focus sort of mindset almost. And that's what revelation can do for us. That's one of the things it can do for us. Oh, I've run out of notes. Well, I have more than that. it can do more than it, that's what it can do for us. It can give us that mindset, and that's the mindset we need. We need that in our lives. We need that ability not to give up, and that's what it does. It births something in us. It gives us the vision, but it also sustains the vision. It sustains the vision. So I'm going to the Old Testament now, Ed, so I'm sorry. You've only got New Testament and Psalms. You won't put that away. Ed's only got a New Testament and Psalms. 1 Samuel 3:1, which I've spoken on this before, 1 Samuel 3:1, where it talks about the nation of Israel, doesn't it? Saying that there was not a lot of revelation in the land at that time. Well, what was going on before then in Judges? It was an absolute mess, wasn't it? That little phrase in Judges keeps coming over and over again. Everybody did what was right in their own eyes. That's what it says. And so when we get to Samuel, they're still in a bit of a state, and it pinpoints the problem, really, in verse 1 of chapter 3, that there wasn't a lot of revelation in the land at the time. It wasn't widespread. There wasn't any prophetic ministry speaking to the heart of the nation. And God raised up Samuel to take the nation of Israel from that place. I've spoken on this before, I'm not going to preach the same one again. From that place of doing what was right in their own eyes, he dragged them out of that situation by establishing a prophet in the land. And it says the word of the Lord was established in the nation of Israel, that Samuel was established as a prophet. And that was the beginning of a process that took place over a period of time. Okay, so they went from Samuel to David to Solomon, which I'm not getting into that. I could do, but I'm not. They went from doing what was right in their own eyes to the most powerful nation on the planet, where Solomon was in charge. And it was because it was a starting point of the revelation of God coming into the nation of Israel, and the establishment of that, and God speaking into the heart of the nation. There's another verse in Proverbs 29, verse 18, where it talks about where there is no revelation, the people, it says, cast off restraint. If we haven't got the word of God coming to us, if God is not revealing things to us, we can't be sustained. You're hearing that? You can't sustain something in your own strength. Okay, it says the people cast off restraint. They give up. You say, all of those things that I was doing previously, you know, I wasn't doing certain things because I knew it was wrong to do. When there is no revelation, when that is not part of the body of Christ, you think, oh, well, I haven't got the strength to carry on. I'm just going to lapse back into what I used to do. So we need that. It's a sustaining power of God in our life through the revelation of his word, whether it be through prophetic word, whether it just be through the scripture, whether it be through preaching, whether it be you caught up into the third heaven, you know, whether you get a visitation, whatever it is, I don't care what it is, as long as God reveals himself to us as a body of Christ. And I just really want to finish with Ephesians 1:17 and 18, that prayer, that full praise, because, you know, that's my favourite prayer out of the whole Bible, and I pray it every day. Most days I pray that. That Lord, open the eyes of my understanding. Fill me with the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of you, Lord. Do that. Above everything else, Lord, I pray that you fill me with those things. The spirit of wisdom and revelation. And Paul prays it again in Colossians. He talks about that he prays for the Colossians to be filled with all spiritual wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of him, doesn't he? Same thing, same principle. And what I want to encourage us to do today is start praying it. Start praying that prayer. It's not a formula, you know, but do you know what? It's the word of God. Let's pray the word of God and ask God to start working that within us. Let's start that. My encouragement, let's start today. Let's do it now. Let's pray for each other now to do that. Pray for yourself now for that process of God opening up the eyes of your understanding. Maybe we'll have a testimony or three in a couple of weeks' time. But I really want to encourage us to do that. Not just a one-off, not just today, but to make it part of your heart attitude towards God. You come to him on a daily basis and say, God, do you know what? I need you. I need the spirit of wisdom and revelation in my life. Because without it, I'm going to fall away. It's that serious, you know. We don't have that in our life. We could just fall away quite easily. Because there's other stuff that comes in and discourages us. And we need that, like I say, to sustain us. Not only to birth stuff, but to sustain us. So that's what I want us to do. I want us to pray for one another this morning. Or pray here yourself for that. So that's really it, Mark. So I want to finish. And maybe we can do that in groups of ones and, well, groups of twos and threes. So, yeah, if you get in small groups, twos and threes, and then we're going to do that. I'll lead a prayer, and then you can just carry on praying.